We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
And now, here's G-Mac, Greg McKinney, KB, Ken Blankenship, and Lonzo.
The glamour of the fans equals the glamour of the event.
Welcome to another hour of The Huddle.
This is ESPN Upstate.
Welcome back. It's 3 minutes after 3 o'clock in The Huddle on ESPN Upstate. Greg McKinney, Ken Blankenship, and Lonzo here Tuesday afternoon. The decision just announced by Spartanburg District 5 that the Burns Rebels game with the Boiling Springs Bulldogs has been moved up to Thursday night at 7:30. Homecoming game against Boiling Springs. Here's the tweet from Spartanburg 5 Schools. Due to impending weather forecast, Burns Rebels homecoming game versus Boiling Springs will be on Thursday night at 7:30 p.m. All right, so there you go. That's the only one in the upstate that we are aware of. There could be others. There's a pretty good chance of rain on Friday night across the upstate, a real good chance of rain. There's been a lot of games moved in the Midlands and the Low Country already, but this is the only one in the upstate at this point. So once again, Burns Boiling Springs will play on Thursday night. We'll have it for you here on ESPN Upstate. This actually helps me.
The fact that the other coaches that you talked to today on the show both said they moved their JV games.
Yep, to clear the way.
They're going to move them. You know they are. They're just waiting for one team to make the choice, and now that Burns has decided.
Yeah, maybe. I bet some will play Friday night. We always have some that just don't like to. And part of it depends on how well your field drains and things like that. You know, and some schools have always been more likely to move than others. So we'll see. But Burns is the first one in the upstate. Burns and Boiling Springs on Thursday night. The statement came out from the South Carolina folks, University of, that said kickoff is still slated for South Carolina and Georgia for 7:30 p.m. Williams-Brice Stadium. Here's their statement. They said the University of South Carolina and the athletics department are currently monitoring the movements of Hurricane Matthew. We are in communication with the National Weather Service, local authorities, and the SEC regarding potential weather issues. The safety of everyone that could be impacted by this storm is paramount. Once forecasts call for action, we will use all means necessary to inform the public. So they issued a statement saying nothing, except they're watching. But the forecast in Columbia, that's Saturday. Friday's the worst day with the storm skirting our coast. Forecast for Columbia on Saturday, 40% chance of rain, high of 79. So much more rain on Friday than Saturday. They might get that game. And Saturday night, 7:30 kickoff, they may still be able to do okay with that. And Columbia. Of course, Clemson's up at Boston College, so no issue for them. The storm may be headed that way, but it'll take it a longer period of time to get up there.
Clemson will be playing in an area designed by Mr. Olmstead.
Thanks for that.
You're welcome.
Just
you're welcome.
One more chance.
That's right.
To get that one in.
That's right.
And
Mr.
we
Olmstead.
Appreciate it.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. 844-477-3776. The text line is 47183. Jesse Palmer, SEC Network. One of the guys that fans love to hate.
Great content, but the delivery.
Is that it? Is that the problem,
okay,
the delivery?
I've been saying that for, yeah, I mean, it's just.
I think most people hate him because he was on The Bachelor. I think that just really.
Yeah, pretty boy.
Yeah. Yeah, they're jealous. Yep, no right. doubt. No
anyway, doubt. His comments this week on some SEC teams, including Tennessee, Alabama, and also on Louisville. Can Louisville work their way back into the Final Four picture? Here's Jesse Palmer.
What does Josh Dobbs and Tennessee need to do to get off to a better start?
Well, it's critical on offense that they do better early in games. And you have to give head coach Butch Jones and his team a lot of credit. They've been so resilient. Four times this year, they've been trailing by double digits, and yet they find ways to win in the second half. But that offense has to execute better. They've had too many critical turnovers early in games. Receivers have dropped too many passes on critical down and distances. And I think quarterback Josh Dobbs has to play with a greater sense of urgency in the first half. half of games. He's got to be more accurate throwing the football. I worry right now about the emotional stamina of Tennessee.
Yeah.
You know, an overtime win week one against App State, big game in Bristol against Virginia Tech after that, and then you're down 21-0 to Florida. You come back and win, and then the Hail Mary to beat Georgia. Just how much left do they have in the tank? It's going to be a great challenge this weekend against Texas A&M.
Yeah, at some point you'd think they'd catch up to them living dangerously, but here they are sitting undefeated second week of October. Let's talk about number one Alabama. Difficult three-game stretch on the road against number 16 Arkansas Saturday, then at Tennessee, home for Texas A&M. Of those three games, Jess, which one has the best chance to upset the Crimson Tide?
I think it's when they go on the road and play Tennessee. I think the Vols match up the best with Alabama right now, and the Tide certainly have a great run defense. They're giving up 68 rushing yards a game, but Tennessee has a very good inside runner in Jalen Hurt, a good outside runner in Alvin Kamara, the Bama transfer, and Josh Dobbs running the football was something that gave the Crimson Tide issues a year ago. I think it's critical, though, for the Vol defense to get healthy. They need Jalen Reeves-Maben back on the field, Darren Kirkland back and middle linebacker. They need Cam Sutton back at cornerback. They're very fast. They're aggressive. They can make plays, certainly in your backfield as well. That's going to be a critical game. Remember, this will be the most hostile environment that Alabama true freshman quarterback Jalen Hurts has played in at Neyland Stadium. And last year, the Vols were actually winning the game with about 2.5 minutes left to go in Tuscaloosa. So I think the Vols still have the best chance of knocking off Bama.
Jess, there's been a big conversation throughout this week that if Louisville were to run the table and they still have a game against Houston, that they could possibly make the playoff. What do you believe they need to do to sneak into the top four?
I think Louisville is going to need help. If Clemson wins the ACC, and certainly Clemson's going to be favored in the rest of their games, and Louisville wins out, I think Louisville still needs help after that loss at Clemson. If that were to happen, I don't think Louisville would get in over a one-loss SEC, Pac-12, or Big Ten champion or an undefeated Big 12 champion. The only two left undefeated teams in the Big 12 right now are Baylor and West Virginia, but it would certainly help for Houston to be unbeaten November 17th when Louisville takes them on. It would help certainly Louisville if they win that game convincingly. I think it hurts Louisville right now that on their schedule they don't play UNC, Miami, Virginia Tech out of the Coastal Division. The good news, though, for the Cards, in my mind, they still have the front-runner Heisman Trophy candidate and Lamar Jackson, who is exceptional against Clemson on the road. And secondly, people remember that loss. Yeah, it was a loss, but Louisville could have won that game, and I think in a lot of ways played extremely well. They need help moving forward, but still a really good team.
All right, so there is Jesse Palmer with the SEC Network. He thinks Louisville could work themselves back into the picture. But again, they don't have a whole lot of impressive challenges ahead other than Houston. The Houston game is huge, of course, and they need Houston to be undefeated when they play them on November 17th in Houston. So that'll be a huge game for them. But not going to really – I mean, they can rack up some stats. And Lamar Jackson can certainly make his case for the Heisman when you're playing people like Virginia and NC State and Wake Forest and Kentucky. But, you know, you can't really improve your case to be in the Final Four other than that Houston game. And then you got to hope everything works. You need Clemson to run the table so that you have a loss to a really impressive team. That would help. But it doesn't look like... on the other hand, the other way that could happen is that Florida State could beat Clemson, then you go to that three-way tie scenario in the ACC.
Then you bring in the Sabermetrics,
and
boys.
And then you might get to play in the ACC championship game. That would help you. Yep. So I don't know what you wish for if you're Louisville these days. You know, it's kind of a mixed bag. You want Clemson to be good, but you want to win the ACC. So there you go. That's where we are with Louisville and the college football playoff. By the way, got a correction from the folks over at Burns.
What is it?
The first tweet said 7:30 kickoff. Now they're saying 7 o'clock kickoff.
Okay.
But it will be on Thursday. So 7 o'clock kickoff on Thursday for Bowling Springs at Burns. They're going to start a half an hour earlier than they normally do on Fridays. All right. And that's, again, the only one that has been moved at this point. 844-477-3776. Text line is 47183 here in the huddle on ESPN Upstate. GMAC, KB, and Lonzo. Let's take our break. We'll be back with more. Stay with us. It's the huddle. This is ESPN Upstate.
From
orange and white.
To Garnet and Black. Now it's time for you to talk back.
Call 844-GSP-ESPN.
Text us at 47183.
Connect at ESPNUpstate.com.
Listen in Greenville.
105.9 FM and 1330 AM.
Spartanburg.
97.1 FM and 950 AM.
Get in the game on the huddle.
Yeah, I got it. Man, you got a lot of people jumping on the phone and Twitter and text to correct me, and rightfully so. Yes, Florida State lost to North Carolina, so the three-way tie scenario, it's not correct to say it's out.
Whole lot of season left to play, people.
It's not correct to say that, because everybody could lose two games, but it's not likely. So, doesn't look like we'll get to the consulting firm to decide on who wins the Atlantic since Florida State lost.
I wanted to see
what they would do. Yeah, I wanted to have the big fight over it on how they did it.
I wanted to hang out with a bunch of nerds.
Yeah, with their pocket protectors.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you.
But yes,
thank you very much.
Since Florida State is worse than expected, and has already lost two games. No, it's unlikely now that we'll have the three-way tie.
Mm-hmm.
So if Clemson should lose to Florida State, they would still have the head-to-head against Louisville. So the Tigers are in great shape. That's the bottom line. 844-477-3776. Text line 47183. Let me also clarify, we did fix this last time, but the first statement that came out from District 5 in Spartanburg said the Burns-Bowling Springs game would be at 7:30 on Thursday. Since then, they have corrected that. They will kick it off in half an hour earlier on Thursday, I guess because it's a school night, and kick off at 7 o'clock. So 7 o'clock Thursday for Burns-Bowling Springs, the homecoming game over at Nixon Field. Here's a story from SEC country, quoting Bruce Feldman.
Mm-hmm.
About from Fox Sports, about this opening at LSU that was interesting. LSU reportedly very high on the idea of hiring Tom Herman at Houston as its next coach. But another program could get in the way of that. According to Fox Sports' Bruce Feldman, if Texas decides to fire Charlie Strong at the end of the season, they become the new favorite to land Tom Herman. Think about that. LSU versus Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Feldman says, I think it's a guarantee that Texas could get him, or as close to a guarantee as you could get. If Charlie Strong is not the head coach, that Texas will go get Tom Herman. Feldman said, sorry, LSU, your job is not quite as good as Texas. You agree with that?
Texas is the ultimate.
They got the money.
They sure do. And the facilities and the everything, you know?
Yep, that's probably right. It's probably not quite top to bottom as good a job as the Texas job. If Texas wants them, and it looks more and more like they're going to fire Charlie Strong.
I mean, there's not much difference in them, but Texas, we all know how much, you know. I mean, you can't break it down to just money, but that's just a huge consideration for any of them.
And Herman has some experience. He was a graduate student at Texas.
Yeah, absolutely.
From 1999 to 2000, and that would give the Longhorns the inside track, even if perhaps the Southern Cal head coaching job should open up.
Mm-hmm.
That's another big one. He said that the administration at Texas would have some uncertainty, but that would be the case at LSU and Southern Cal as well. He would go into some uncertainty for the administration if he was being hired by LSU, he said. This is Bruce Feldman. He said there's a strong possibility that respected former West Virginia athletic director Oliver Luck will be the next athletic director at Texas, and that could help the Longhorns even more in their pursuit of Tom Herman. So, you know, it's just not a done deal. I mean, we just don't know. I mean, it could be Texas, it could be LSU, but Tom Herman, I think this is the year that Tom Herman moves. He's going to just have too many good offers on the table, right? Somebody's going to make him an offer he can't refuse. Somebody.
Texas.
Yeah, Texas looks most likely.
Yeah.
Right now.
Would he stay at Houston?
No. Not anymore. I mean, what are you waiting for if you stay at Houston?
Well, I mean,
what job are you waiting for?
Well, you're not. That's what I'm saying. He'd be staying there for a while.
Yeah, maybe you're staying there because you like Houston.
Nah. Well, I tell you what, we know how huge the state of Texas is for recruiting and all that, but there's no richer area than that Houston. You could still, you know, do the same thing if you were head coach at Texas as you could right there at Houston, but you are inside the inside.
What, did they bump him up to $3 million? Is that what they did at Houston? Trying to remember. They bumped him up last year.
Well, Texas will throw at least twice that.
Yeah.
At least twice. Probably considerably more. Probably $8 to $10 million a year.
I don't know they'll go that high.
I bet you Texas would.
I don't think so.
And some others would.
I know others would. No, KB. People, I know you love to spend other people's money, but people don't play $8 to $10 million for coaches. They just don't.
How much does Saban make?
Saban's $7-something.
Right, so you're not going to go above Saban. No.
What will Saban be his next time around? What will these other big-time coaches be their next time around? That's where Herman will get. I'm telling you, Texas will throw $8 to $10 at him.
No.
Oh, yeah. Watch it. Right. Watch and see.
All right.
Shock me if they don't.
And certainly nobody else has that kind of money. Yeah, I mean, Texas would be the one if somebody was going to do it.
LSU's got some money, don't they?
They're not going to spend
Ohio State
$8+ million. Mm-hmm. Ohio State has a coach. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're going to fire there.
No, I don't think so either, but I'm just saying.
TCU's Gary Patterson has apologized today about comments about officials and Oklahoma quarterback Baker Mayfield after TCU lost to the Sooners 52-46. After the game, Gary Patterson criticized the officials for several calls, including an intentional grounding penalty against quarterback Kenny Hill on TCU's final possession. The officials initially ruled no penalty, but later they threw the flag after Bob Stoops at Oklahoma argued that Hill was still in the pocket when he threw a pass and that there were no receivers in the area. Patterson also mentioned several plays where he believed Oklahoma held TCU, including on a second quarter touchdown. You know, it's remarkable how many people see what they think is bad calls against their team. Did you hear a lot of that at Clemson Louisville game on both sides? Did you hear a ton of that? Did you hear the comments from the guys who were saying that Louisville had to play against 18 players on the other team?
There were some calls now are not calls. I'm telling you.
There were a few. There were some both ways. Patterson said this on Saturday. He said, you know, it's amazing. We can't say anything, but they can do whatever they want. So I don't really care right now if the commissioner, if they don't like what I think about what happened with the officials. We talk about sportsmanship in this game. I've got a quarterback that writes a whole article on me, how I treated him wrong, but I can't talk about officials. Bottom line, I wasn't happy with officiating.
Right, right.
He seemed to be talking about an article in ESPN, the magazine, published in August, in which Baker Mayfield's parents criticized TCU's handling of Mayfield when he was being recruited. TCU recruited Mayfield in high school. They did not make an offer, ultimately. Patterson ended his news conference today issuing an apology for his comments. He said when it came to officials, Baker, anything, the bottom line is you have to be bigger than all of that. You have passion. I think in my 19 seasons here, I can count on two hands, not one hand, two hands, maybe six times that I've said things that usually by the next day I've regretted. After that, by the time I got to my radio show, I regretted it. That's a good officiating crew. This game goes really fast. It's hard to be an officiating crew anymore. So he's apologizing. Yeah, just, you know, it's just not a good look. I mean, you don't get anywhere by criticizing officials. You just look like a sore loser. Even if you strongly feel what you strongly feel, right? There's no upside to just staying on the official.
So they just keep on going, doing what they're doing.
They do what they do, and it kind of balances out. Do you disagree with that? Kind of balances out.
Yeah, but it's no kind of way to live. You know what I'm saying? Hoping it balances out. I mean,
what else are you going to do?
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe they get better. I don't know.
Did you see the thing at the Clemson game? There was a couple of situations on that last play, where Clemson stopped Louisville a yard short. There was a member of the Chang Gang who was cheering. You tell him that's not a good look. And now there's been a posting of a picture of a trooper, Highway Patrol trooper, standing right there on the sideline. This is not on the same play. This is on a Deshaun Watson touchdown. You see Deshaun doing the Superman pose,
mm-hmm.
and the Trooper doing basically, I guess you would call it, a Hulk pose.
Mm-hmm.
The balled up fists and screaming, his mouth wide open.
Cute.
It's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
He's into it. I don't mind the Trooper. I don't really think the Chain Gang guy should be cheering, right? Aren't they supposed to be
we know they're going to be local.
Neutral.
But still, they should be neutral.
They should, curtail their enthusiasm. Yeah.
The Trooper, it doesn't bother me that the Trooper's cheering, does he?
Well, as long as he's at work, out of hand. But, A little Hulk pose? No, I'm all right.
Nah, it's all right. It's all right. It's pretty funny, actually.
How many times did he do it? I mean, once or twice is cool, but after that.
There's just one picture.
Get back to trooping now.
So that's it.
Yep.
All right, 844-GSP, ESPN. Text line is 47183 here in the huddle. After the break, we'll hear from Adam Schefter of ESPN about Cam Newton and his status coming up for Monday night's game against Tampa Bay. Newton in the concussion protocol. We'll talk about that next. It's The Huddle here, ESPN Upstate. We'll be right back.
You're in The Huddle on ESPN Upstate.
Opinions wanted at 844-GSP-ESPN.
Connect at ESPNUpstate.com.
Text 47183.
Listen in Greenville.
105.9 FM and 1330 AM.
Spartanburg.
97.1 FM and 950 AM.
You're listening to The Huddle with Greg McKinney.
We're back in the huddle. It's 3:32 on ESPN Upstate. Greg McKinney, Kim Blankenship, Lonzo here. On a busy Tuesday here because of weather. Again, we have one Upstate high school football game move so far, and that's Burns and Bowling Springs. They're going to play at 7 o'clock at Nixon Field on Thursday night. Moved that from Friday and moved it up half an hour with the kickoff. Governor Haley has just had a news conference, may still be going on. And she said this, a state of emergency is being declared. They're going to begin evacuating the South Carolina coast tomorrow. They're not waiting until Friday. Nikki Haley said, if you don't get out in time, you might get stuck. She said, for people along the coast, fill up your gas tank, stay on the evacuation route, and move 100 miles away from the South Carolina coast. That a few minutes ago from the governor.
Hmm.
By the way, did you see the latest?
I don't know.
Can't imagine South Carolina and Georgia playing Saturday night in Columbia.
Who said that?
Nikki Haley.
Oh, she said that.
That's what Matt Connelly of the state is tweeting that she said.
Oh, yeah, I see it now.
They think it's going to be that bad, huh?
Well, I mean, that's about 100 miles from the coast, right?
Yeah, I think.
More or less.
Something like that.
Roughly. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's. But that's Saturday. I mean, we're looking at the track of this storm really affecting Friday more than Saturday. At last time I saw, did it slow down any?
So, G-Mac, you're basically defying the governor. I think you've
got it
like that.
If everybody's been evacuated and they're all moving back, and maybe it has to do with travel. Maybe if the storm's over and everybody's trying to go back home, what's the chances you can get to the stadium?
Good night.
Mm.
So it's looking questionable about South Carolina, Georgia happening as scheduled at 7:30 in Columbia on Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
All coastal schools will close beginning tomorrow, according to the governor. All coastal schools. I don't know how far inland that applies. But they're going to close tomorrow. They're going to start evacuations tomorrow. Got this from Gaffney Athletic Department. They say their ninth grade game now has been moved up to 5:30 p.m. tomorrow at Dorman. The JV game will be at 7 o'clock tomorrow at Dorman. They have not moved the Gaffney-Dorman varsity game yet. Still scheduled at this time for Friday night in Gaffney. Again, here in the upstate, much less of an issue. But you don't know. You don't know how old Matthew is going to turn. Which way will he go? It could affect the upstate more than we anticipate right now. So they're going to be reversing lanes, traffic lanes, to get everybody out. She said, should we go forward, As long as nothing changes, the reversals will start at 3 p.m. tomorrow. Yeah, do not plan to go to the coast.
Not a good idea?
It's a bad idea.
It's not even a little bit good. It's terrible.
No, it's a...
Have you ever known storm chasers? I mean, really, known any personally?
No.
That will drive into... I knew a dude in Charlotte.
That's tornadoes, though. You don't. I mean, you can't really chase a hurricane.
I mean, you just like to drive into stuff like that.
Yeah, no thanks.
You know, he would be taking the Haley order and just reversing it. I think I will go toward the coast.
Right.
Dude's name was Charlie. Watch out for them Charlies.
Well, you better go now because all the traffic's going to be coming the other way. It's really hard to go when they reverse both.
I know.
All the lanes of the interstate coming this way.
He had a Jeep now.
It's hard to get there, man.
He had an all-wheel drive now. I don't know.
Governor Haley said there'll be multiple shelters set up. They'll have more information on that tomorrow. Of course, they have routes that you can find from the coast, but everybody down there certainly would need to know. It's about 1 million people.
Yeah.
1 million people they're going to try to move off of the South Carolina coast.
It's a lot of people, G-Man.
Wow.
And how many of those people will be coming around here?
A bunch.
Yes.
A bunch. So hotels are going to be filling up in the upstate, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just a big, big deal now. Big deal. So that's the latest. I think we're going to get more cancellations on sporting events, which, of course, are not the priority right now. So we're going to have more of that to talk about as we go along. All right, we'll let you know as we get them. What's going to happen? But again, Governor Haley saying she cannot imagine that South Carolina and Georgia will go on in Columbia 7:30 Saturday night. That's what she just said.
So what do you think will happen? Can they move it to Georgia? I mean, this is kind of short notice, but they still got a few days.
Play it in Athens? Delay it? Great question.
Delay it to when? Sunday? Or, I mean...
That's hard to do. Or Monday? Yeah, I mean, Athens is certainly going to be less impacted, but that doesn't mean the weather's going to be good there, right? Not gonna, we're canceling high school games, moving high school games some up here. Athens is not going to be dramatically better.
Maybe they'll move the South Carolina game to Clemson.
Can we borrow your stadium?
Hey, the stadium's going to be open. I mean, you know.
Yeah. 1.1 million could be evacuated. That's more than 20% of the population of South Carolina.
It's a lot. Surely is.
Yep.
So if South Carolina played a home game in Clemson, that would just be interesting, I think.
Yeah, could they play?
I seriously don't think it's out of the realm of possibility if you have to move the game somewhere.
Death Valley? Why not just go to Athens? That would make more sense. Of course, it gives Georgia a home game. But we did that with LSU last year.
Moved it out there, right?
Man, unbelievable. Let me get to this because I promised it, and we'll get you the latest on the storm and cancellations coming up. But Adam Schefter of ESPN talking about Cam Newton. He is in the concussion protocol, so will he be able to play next Monday in the Panthers' Monday night football game against Tampa Bay? Here's what Shefty had to say.
Ron Rivera made it very clear today that Cam Newton spent the morning at the doctor's office, but he cannot offer a prediction at this point in time as to whether or not Cam Newton would be ready, because as is often the case with concussions, a player can feel okay one day and then not so much the next day, and vice versa. So just because Cam Newton is feeling the way he is today is not an indication of whether or not he'll be ready for next Monday night's matchup against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Keep in mind that at one point in time in the 2014 season, Cam Newton missed both starts against the Buccaneers. Derek Anderson filled in as he would on Monday night. Anderson went 2-0 against the Buccaneers then, and they may have to turn to Anderson if Newton is not recovered in time next Monday night as well.
They beat Tampa Bay with Derek Anderson, right?
Oh, yeah, I mean, Derek Anderson's good.
Derek Anderson beat Tampa Bay twice last year, right?
They can do that again.
He's a good quarterback.
Do that again. My gut is that Cam's not going to be able to play. I mean, this concussion protocol takes a while, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Don't really turn that around that quickly.
Depends on how the inside of your head is.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Monday gives him an extra day, so I guess that makes it a little more likely that he could get back for the game. Maybe we want. Have you seen Cam the way he's been playing? Maybe we want Derek Anderson. Got to spin things around a little bit. Maybe they need that.
Mark that he said that, Lonzo, not me.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll watch that for you this week. Also, they had the funeral for Arnold Palmer today. Mm-hmm. ESPN. I saw some of it on ESPN. They carried it live. Jack Nicklaus was one of those who spoke. He asked everyone from the elite to the everyman to remember the time Arnold Palmer touched their lives. Nicklaus said, "I hurt like you hurt. You don't lose a friend of 60 years and don't feel an enormous loss."
Absolutely.
Service was at St. Vincent College in Latrobe, Pennsylvania.
Just east of Pittsburgh, about 30 miles, I believe.
The service filled as much with laughter and warmth as it was the sadness. Had a packed house there at the college. Charlie Meacham, former LPGA commissioner who became one of Palmer's most trusted advisors, referred to them as the elite battalion of Arnie's Army, the big names of golf that came in for the funeral today. He died September 25th, of course, in Pittsburgh at the age of 87. Ernie Els was there. He said, "We were looking down at the airstrip and the fog just suddenly lifted after landing in one of several private jets that descended on Arnold Palmer Regional Airport."
Well, you know, he used to fly.
Palmer did?
He's one of the very first ones to fly his own jet around, you know?
Els says, "This is a beautiful day. We've all met different people in life. He was a man who didn't change. Didn't matter if you cut the grass or were a president. He was the same with everybody.
Made you feel like you're the most important man in the world."
His co-pilot, Pete Luster, flew his plane around St. Vincent College for nearly an hour before the service, tipping the left wing as he zoomed by. He did the same for two flyovers after the service. Meacham set a happy tone by pointing to a large photograph of Palmer with a grin that made everyone feel so important. He asked the crowd to remember Palmer, who hitched up his pants and gave a thumbs up. "There's an old saying that there are no irreplaceable people," said Meacham. "Whoever made that line didn't know Arnold Palmer."
There you go.
Arnold Palmer won 62 times on the PGA Tour, 7 majors. Nice service day.
He kind of settled into the Charlotte community Palmer had. You know, he was a great man, and he was one of the originators, maybe the originator, of really making sports marketing work, you know, starting to really make those personal endorsements pay off, you know.
When you think about two guys we lost this year, and we've lost a lot of athletes, but Muhammad Ali and
absolutely.
Arnold Palmer, that's
absolutely.
You don't get any bigger than those two guys.
That's elite company there, brother.
Unbelievable.
No question.
All right, we'll take our final break. 844-477-3776 is our phone number. Text line is 47183 here in the huddle on ESPN Upstate. We'll come back and wrap things up. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
What's on your mind?
Talk at 844-GSP-ESPN.
Listen in Greenville.
105.9 FM and 1330 AM.
Spartanburg.
97.1 FM and 950 AM.
This is The Huddle with G-Mac, Greg McKinney,
KB,
Ken Blankenship,
and Lonzo on ESPN Upstate.
So we are back. Your final segment of The Huddle, ESPN Upstate. Greg McKinney, Ken Blankenship, and Lonzo. Glad you're along with us. Appreciate Dave Gutshaw coming on the show today, Dorman coach, also Bowling Springs coach Rick Tate. We've heard from Dabo Sweeney, of course. We heard from the coach of the University of Georgia, Kirby Smart, today. We gave away some tickets to the Bank of America 500. And we talked a lot about this storm, which is about to wreak havoc on our coast, at least, and maybe up toward the Midlands over the next several days. Hurricane Matthew could bring major impacts to the coast by late this week, early this weekend. Weather in the upstate, however, expected to remain mostly dry. Could be some showers on Friday, along with gusty winds. Right now, the storm is moving toward Cuba. Then it will push along the Bahamas through tomorrow night. It will near the Florida coast by Thursday as a Category 3 hurricane. Expected to approach the Carolina coast late Friday as a Category 2 storm. The best chance for landfall right now seems to be Myrtle Beach to Wilmington, that area. And the storm could pack Nearly 100-mile-per-hour winds as it moves in, and very heavy rainfall. It is expected to weaken some as it approaches. That helps. As a Category 2 storm, be a little less damaging. And the state of South Carolina could end up on the left side of the track. You get less tornadoes, wind, and rain on the left side than on the right side of a hurricane. So, you know, that would mean the worst of it might be out to sea or then come ashore. If it's between Myrtle Beach and Wilmington, as they expect, then North Carolina would get the worst side of the storm. Winds along the coast expected to gust 60 to 70 miles an hour Friday night. Then they could get 6 to 8 inches of rain possible. Locally, higher amounts of rain. Here in the upstate, this is from Kendra Kent at Fox Carolina. She says, we could have wind gusts of 20 to 30 miles an hour late Friday into Saturday. Showers on the edge of the storm, but not a whole bunch of rain up here. Not a whole bunch. And this storm should clear the Carolina coastline by late Saturday night. Unfortunately for Gamecock and Georgia fans, 7:30 is the kickoff for that ball game in Columbia. And in case you missed it, just a little while ago, right after 3 o'clock, at her briefing in Columbia, Governor Nikki Haley said she cannot imagine South Carolina, Georgia going on as scheduled at 7:30. On Saturday night. That's what she said. So
our governor.
That's the latest. That's the latest on that.
Mrs. Haley.
There have been a bunch of schools now. Let's see if I can find that list here. Bunch of schools that will close for the rest of the week. In other words, they had school today. They will not have school Wednesday, Thursday,
surely
Friday.
Surely closer to the middle of the state.
Yeah, here are the counties. Here are the counties that are doing that. Well, Richland's one of them. That's okay. Columbia.
Yep, absolutely.
Aiken, Allendale, Bamberg, Barnwell, Beaufort, Berkeley, Calhoun, Charleston, Clarendon, Colleton, Darlington, Dillon, Dorchester, Florence, Georgetown, Hampton, Horry, Jasper, Lee, Lexington, Marion, Marlboro, Orangeburg, Richland, Sumter, and Williamsburg. Those counties are not going to have school the rest of the week. They've already decided that.
That's a lot of counties.
It's a bunch. So you won't have a whole lot of high school football scores on Friday night.
Yeah, I know. I'm negotiating that right now. I'm not winning either, by the way.
What are you going to do?
Well, you know, you've got upstate games right now. Right now, we'll see. Right now, only Burns and Bowling Springs have been moved to Thursday. You know, some people suggesting that they could move the South Carolina-Georgia game to Friday.
Mm-hmm.
How about that?
Yeah.
Is it going to be okay Friday night in Columbia?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. There will be no football games being played down there on Friday night, not high school.
There is a guy who reports on Atlanta Sports, calls himself Atlanta Sports Guy on Twitter, says that he is hearing that if the game's going to be moved out of Columbia, that a more viable option for Saturday than Athens would be the Georgia Dome. I guess the Georgia Dome would stay dry.
Might protect you a little bit. Think about it. Would you rather watch a game in the dry or say, ooh, we brave the weather? I think I'll be chilling.
So I guess they have nothing in the Georgia Dome on Saturday night.
Nothing important. I mean, you can move a couple of.
Look, I like that better than Athens. I like, you know, let's not give Georgia a home game here. It's an important game.
It's almost a home game in Atlanta, too.
Yeah, but not as bad.
I know.
It's not like Athens.
You get a more, you know, apathetic crowd in Atlanta.
Bit.
Yeah.
A little bit. So there's the latest on that. 844-GSP-ESPN. Let's get Mustin in here before we get out. Hey, Mustin.
You know, first of all, you know, this sounds like a thing, one of those things when they're going to predict a snowstorm, one flake, and boom, everybody's headed to the grocery store. Everybody starts shutting everything down. You know, I mean, this thing's, you know, they don't even know where this thing's going to go yet.
No.
And they're canceling everything. And, you know, to me, look, you can play football in the rain. You know, if you guys remember Lou Holtz's very first game, can you tell me where it was and what happened that game?
No, I can't, Mustin. Enlighten us.
Okay.
2 miles out to sea?
It was, basically. It was at NC State, the very first game, and Hurricane Dennis comes through town in Raleigh.
Good call.
And it was, yep, and it we were there, me and my buddies, and we, you know, before the game started, it was sunny. It was nothing there, whatever. And then right before the game started, it started raining a little bit. By the time the game really got cranked up, it was raining so hard and raining sideways. We literally, at times, we had seats in the bleachers, and we had to kind of hold on to each other because the wind was blowing.
Yeah, let's do that. That sounds like a good plan.
Hey, it was one of the most fun games I've ever been to. I mean, it was so great. We had raincoats on. We were able to sneak things in there that most time you can't. It was great. And, you know, we come outside, and our most of our tires, we were parked on a hill. Our front tire was underwater.
Wow.
So, but we were able to get out, and everybody was fine. Everybody went back to the hotel room, had a great time. Mm. I mean, it was so much fun. If you've never seen a game in a pouring rain, it is one of the best times. As long as, of course, it's not a freezing rain, that's a different story.
They
need to play it.
All right. So you say keep it in Columbia 7:30 Saturday night.
Keep it going, you know. I mean, look, by the time the game starts, it'll probably be over anyway. So it ain't like, you know, it's going to, you know, drown anybody. Come on, you know, it's just, it's a football game. Play the game in the rain. Play the game in the snow. Just, you know, I wish they would cancel games when it's 100 degrees. I hate that. You know, I'd rather them cancel it, you know, then instead of the rain. So, but anyway, that's my opinion. What do I know?
Thank you, Mustin. We appreciate it, man. Why couldn't they do this at the Citadel game last year?
Because it was raining down L's on y'all is what it was.
That would have been a good one to miss, wouldn't it? It turns out, apparently, that there is a Georgia State game in the Georgia Dome Saturday.
Huh.
So the discussion now being bandied about on Twitter is, could they play it in the Georgia Dome on Sunday? None of this is official discussion, mind you. This is the Twitterverse discussing this.
So the Falcons are where?
Falcons are
out of town,
gone, I hope.
Yeah. Well, I mean, somebody would have said it.
They would have said that. Yeah. Evacuation order goes into effect at 3 p.m. tomorrow. Now, if the storm changes course, you know, like Mustin is saying, you don't know where it's going to go. They can always back off of this. But the plan right now is to evacuate 1.1 million people from the South Carolina coast. And cancel school from Columbia to the coast.
Yeah, that part I like.
For the rest of the week.
Kids work too hard anyway. Give them a day or two off. Seriously, Jimmy, you know me, man. I think kids, you know, brains are going to blow up, you know?
They need a day off.
That's right. Mm. That's right.
And again, all we've really been talking about is a bunch of high school games that are postponed in the Columbia down to the coastal area. But again, just one move in the upstate so far, and that's Burns, Bowling Springs, 7 o'clock on Thursday. You know, the other issue, though, just to counter, if I might.
Please do.
Mustin's argument, play it because it won't be that bad and Columbia will just be rain. You've got resources. You got 1 million evacuees coming from the coast to the Midlands upstate area, and you're going to have all those emergency personnel, highway patrol troopers, all that at a football game?
Yeah.
I don't know that you can really get away with that.
Yeah, you probably.
I don't know that you can do that.
You may have a point there, Mr. Smarty Pants Radio guy.
I mean, I'm sorry to throw a little cold water on the plan.
Yeah, on the cold water.
I know it's a football game, and it's really important, but in light of all this. So stay tuned. We will keep you updated here as these developments will obviously be changing rapidly over the next 24 to 48 hours as this storm moves up. But we got a lot of weather to deal with in the state of South Carolina as Matthew makes its approach. A bunch of games will be moved, canceled, all that stuff's going to be happening, including some college impact as well. And we'll let you know as soon as we have that. Thanks for listening today. Straight Up with Sturge is coming up next. You're on ESPN Upstate. We have Wild Card Baseball for you tonight and tomorrow night. You're on ESPN Upstate. Don't forget about that. Thank you, KB. Lonzo.
Yes, sir.
I'm Greg McKinney. Thanks to all of our listeners. Keep it right here on ESPN Upstate. We will be here tomorrow, 1 o'clock in the huddle. Have a great afternoon.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.